Boss Man Show. We're here with the head coach of the Charleston Cougars, the College of Charleston, doing big things. Coach Earl Grant. Coach Grant, how things out there in South Carolina, man?
It's going good. Beautiful weather. You know, obviously, anytime you live on the coastline, you know, it's hard to complain about that. You know, obviously, I like my team and all the guys we got returning from last year. So, you know, pretty excited and ready to get started, you know, with a new year.
And, Coach, I'm glad that Hurricane Dory did not hurt you guys. I know you guys kind of sit low, so I'm glad not too much happened to the city, because I know when the hurricanes come, it scares everybody. It scared me because I was down in Mobile at that point seeing Richard Riley, and I'm like, oh, my God, I hope it don't come this way. Thank God for that. But I do know how you all lay low, so I'm happy you guys are all safe from that Hurricane Dorian down there, too.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. You know, it's kind of, you know, every September, you know, early September, late August, that's another thing that come when you're near water. We've had a scare the last two or three years, but we evacuate and school's out and, you know, guys go home for three or four days, but we don't really get as much of an effect from the storm. So it's almost like a kind of free vacation for the players, early fall break or early Christmas break, because we've been fortunate where the storms haven't affected us, but there's always been like a scare.
Yes, indeed. You know, I know how it is on the coast, being from Florida, so I kind of know how it is. So thankfully, I'm in Atlanta, where we're kind of landlocked, but you know, you still had that kind of a twitch about you when you hear hurricane coming your way.
No, absolutely. And I know, you know, usually when those hurricane warnings come, you know, there's a lot of evacuations and a lot of people, you know, leaving and coming to Atlanta, from whether it be from Florida or South Carolina. So I know I've had to come that way before, and you know, which is not a bad thing because I love being in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, the Waffle House will treat you real good, and the barbecue over there will treat you good there too as well, Coach, no doubt. Well, Coach, for you, man, year six leading the Cougars, so I'm going to ask you, since you've been here since 2014, what do you feel like has been your biggest accomplishment since you've been at Charleston the past 6 years, going into year six here?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest accomplishment is just all the different guys that have graduated. You know, we have anybody who has exhausted their 4 years of eligibility in basketball have graduated. So I think, you know, anytime you can help these young men position themselves for the rest of their lives with an education and getting a college degree, I mean, it's hard to compete with that. So that probably would be the biggest thing. And then, you know, just watching and seeing what my alums are doing. You know, Evan Bailey just started medical school. He graduated a couple years ago, and he's in Medical University of South Carolina. He's studying to be a surgeon. And, you know, we had a couple guys, you know, fortunate enough to get drafted and have opportunities in the NBA with, you know, Jarrell Brantley, he's with the Utah Jazz, and Joe Chile with the Charlotte Hornets. So that was amazing to see that happen as well. You know, Cam Johnson just started working with San Antonio Spurs on their staff, you know, in the coaching staff. And so I can go on and on. Terrence O'Donohue from Atlanta, he's a sheriff in Mount Pleasant, a community about 20 minutes away from here. And I know he was from Atlanta, played with the Atlanta Celtics. But I can go on and on. Marquise Corner from Arkansas.
Oh, feel free to.
Big time photographer here. Yeah, so I think those are the things that I'm proud about. Certainly, you know, being happy that we made it to the NCAA tournament. We won the championship game here in Charleston, you know, about 5 minutes away from the community that I grew up in, the neighborhood that I grew up in there at the North Charleston Coliseum. So, there's a lot, man. It doesn't seem like it's been 6 years. And so we're just trying to continue to move the program forward, you know, as we kind of get in these next this season here and continue to push forward to, you know, year six and year seven and eight, you know, these next 3 years, try to continue to move it forward. So just proud of the things that we've been able to do, but more importantly, just, you know, seeing those young men, you know, get a diploma, you know, at the end of their 4 years.
And Coach Grant, I was talking about this with Mike Jones at Radford about how the model of like your program, his program at Radford, where the AD actually allowed you to build a program, allowed you to grow into the job, and because you don't get good at this job overnight. You have to grow into the being a head coach, even if you just get a job for the first time, to grow into it. So I feel like you're a good model for it. Mike Jones is a good model for it at Radford, about AD's letting their coaches grow and watch it blossom in year 4, 5, 6, and 7, and you have a sustainable foundation for years to come.
Well, I mean, administration, would rather be your president, board of trustees, and athletic director, so critical, you know, in these positions, because, you know, obviously, like you said, Rome wasn't built in a week, and it takes time to get a foundation first and then continue to add to it. And one of the things that I was fortunate in my career is having an opportunity to work with two head coaches that from day one, I was with them. So, you know, at Wichita State, I know we left Winthrop, and I went to Wichita State with Greg Marshall, and I was there day one. You know, we got on a private plane, we went out. It was me and him for a couple of weeks, and then we hired a couple other coaches, Chris Jans, who's now at New Mexico State, and Dana Ford, who was at Missouri State. All those guys were on the staff, as well as Marty Gross, who had came from Rice. You know, so I think seeing the building being built from ground zero is something I was able to do with Greg, and I stayed with him until we got the program up and running, and then I went to Clemson, same thing, day one, on the job with Brad Brunell. I was able to see it built from ground up. And so when I got the job at the College of Charleston, I had a pretty good idea of that, hey, man, you know, these first couple of years, you know, the most important thing is hire the right staff, you know, try to get two good recruiting classes. And then once you do that, success is coming.
You got that right. And speaking of success, Coach, you come off last year's third-place finish in the CAA. So what did you prioritize this offseason to kind of make sure you play well this offseason, play as well this season, and can peak in late February and March when that conference tournament comes around so you can punch a ticket to the big dance? Because I feel like in mid-major ball, you have to kind of build up to that February or March to get that automatic bid, because most likely you're not going to only have a one bid lead. So you have to really peak at the right time in that late you party. So how's your process going about that this year and wanting to get better at defensively or offensively this year? So what did y'all kind of do this offseason to kind of make sure your team is ready for that key stretch in February and March there?
Well, I mean, the first thing is, you know, it's hard to be perfect and it's actually hard to win games. But you know, I felt like last year, you know, we lost maybe a couple games we shouldn't have lost. You know, we won 25, and you know, we needed to be a little bit better. So going into the summer, we just talked about being a little bit better. You know, a little bit better condition, a little bit better nutritional, a little bit better, get more rest. You know, a little bit better in the weight room. So that's all we emphasized: a little bit better, a little bit better execution, more, a little bit more time in the gym working on your shot. We felt like we needed a little bit more, and I think and we were able to do that in the summer and in the fall. But, you know, most times when you're at this level, it is a one-bid league. You got to win your championship to get to the NCAA tournament. But, you know, I'm hoping and believing that that's not always going to be the case here, you know, in the CAA, where we got a lot of good teams. So your non-conference schedule is very important, that maybe you can win some of those games. So we went out and scheduled well. You know, it's a very challenging schedule. We played VCU at home and Oklahoma State at home and at Richmond, at Central Florida, playing the John Wooden Classic out in California, opening up with Wake Forest. So, you know, playing at Marshall. So we played. We wanted to play against teams who had some NCAA tournament experience and put ourselves in a position to compete to see if we could have a good non-conference you know, rating and build ourselves up for the CAA conference and the CAA tournament.
Exactly. And also, the knockout skills, I feel like it does a lot for the Charleston brand, because the College of Charleston is known for its past success, but getting it back out on the map there where guys are, yeah, when you may make the phone call, you're getting in front of a guy, it's like, oh, Charleston, you all are good, you all are relevant, you all win games. So a guy will want to come to you, whether it be a high school senior, a JUCO guy, or a right grad transfer, or a transfer guy that is to sit one and play a couple of years or a year for you, or even an international guy or a prep school guy, because of what you've built there, and it's a relevant name, and you've shown that you guys can win, it's sustained as well. So, and the CAA is a great conference. So, I feel like you have a great a great base and a non-conference schedule helps you in recruiting as well.
Yeah, you know, I would say this, man, and to be honest, it has not a whole lot to do with me. This is a high-level program, man. It's a big-time situation, great place to live. Some of that has to do with John Chris, you know, what he was able to do over the years and building this program and, you know, getting to the top 25 and NCAA tournaments. And they were giant killers. You know, they beat Maryland in the NCAA tournament. They beat the Tar Heels and at the Bobcat or the Hornets arena. You know, a big win against Georgia Tech. Like, he did that years ago. And then Bobby Kremins came in and had some great success, you know, winning games at Clemson, winning games at Tennessee, beating the Tar Heels in Charleston. So, you know, the program is built to win. And the city's unbelievable. And there's great facilities. And, you know, I think our president and our athletic director, you know, realize and understand how important it is to support athletics. So I just think it's a great situation. And I hope that we can continue to, you know, get it back to its rightful place or, you know, maybe even get to some places we haven't experienced before.
Now, I see also you have a team right in the backyard coming to you. Georgia State's coming to see you guys in Charleston. That's going to be a heck of a game. Coach Rob Lanier leading the Panthers now with his new style from Ron Hunter's attacking zone. If I have you, I see Ron Hunter's zone now because I had zone something else.
Yeah, you know, really happy for Rob Lanier and knowing Rob for a while. And, you know, we scheduled that game. We're going to play a home and home starting here in Charleston. Obviously, I know he's going to do a great job and build that program up. And so, but yeah, we'll start a series with them. They're another team that I mentioned, you know, that's got some history, some recent NCAA history. And that was our intention to try to schedule as many of those type of teams as we could.
Yes, indeed. And, Coach, who are some guys for our listening audience here who can they look out for to be key factors for you each night that you really want to highlight that's going to really be a key cog to what you guys got going on this year, what you guys want to accomplish this year?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing is, you know, we got our starting 1, 2, and 3 back. You know, the kid, Zepp Jasper, he started the first 15 games last year, and we were 13-2, you know, with wins at VCU and wins against Memphis. And so he's battle-tested. He's a sophomore, redshirt sophomore. And, you know, Grant Riller, very talented guard, big-time scorer, developed more into a leader, can shoot the ball, do a lot of things. So, I mean, you know, everybody knows that he's a good player. And then Brevin Galloway is a returning. He started every game, played 30 minutes. So, you know, we got those guys. And then we got a senior at the 4. You know, he played behind Jarrell Brantley, who went to the Utah Jazz. He probably was started at a lot of schools at our level. But, you know, the guy in front of him was Jarrell Brantley. So he's a senior. You know, Jalen McManus, 6'8", 230. Sam Miller transferred from Dayton. He's a fifth-year senior now and 6'10", 235 skill. So, I mean, we got an experienced team. Osinachi Smart is a third year, 6'8", 240, that, you know, didn't get a chance to play as much this past season but played more the year before. And Jalen Richard, probably one of the better athletes in our league, 6'4 guard, you know, 195, 200 pounds. Got good freshmen, you know, Brendan Tucker and Trayvon Reddish, both from Georgia. You know, and Dontavious King is a big physical specimen as well. He may redshirt this year. But, you know, we just got a lot of different guys. Kwame McClooney is a 6'6 lefty, you know, who can really shoot the ball, who's a redshirt freshman. And, I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of pieces. And you know, we're going to have to play, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 of these guys. And so I'm excited about it. You know, and I look forward to getting started and seeing what this team can become as we work towards the season and keep fighting, you know, for March.
Yes, indeed. Coach Grant, it has to feel good knowing you can go 8 or 9, 10 deep. Because, you know, some teams like can go 7 deep, 6.5 deep. But, you know, so having depth is very important over a long season. The start goes from November to March. So I tell you what, that's good to have that because it also shows that, you know, you got the right pieces. I know it's fun for you as a coach to kind of kind of play with the pieces, see how they all fit when those games start. And this knockout season helps you in that regard, kind of figure out what you have before you get in that CAA play, which is going to be tough as well.
Yeah, you know, when you got 8 or 9 guys, it does take, well, I guess 9 or 10, it does take some time to piece it all together, because some nights you're not going to play all 10. You know, and I didn't even mention one kid who I love, you know, 6'5", about 220, junkyard dog, D'Angelo Epps, played with Team Charlotte with Jeff McGinnis. He's just a really good player. So, but, you know, when you've got 9 or 10 that you can play, it takes a while to figure out that rotation. And there'll be nights you only play 7 or 8. But to have 9 or 10 that's available is definitely a luxury.
Yes, indeed. And, Coach, last one I got for you is this, Coach. You know, we are very big on food around here, Coach. So if our listeners come to Charleston to see you guys play, or it's coming in general, what are some good spots to eat around Charleston in that great city on the water you guys got there?
Yeah, it's a lot of them, man. You know, obviously you got Hall's Chop House. You know, it's one of the best steakhouse in the world. You know, you get steak, you get seafood there. You got Pearl's Oyster House, which is an unbelievable seafood restaurant, as well as Fleet Landing. Fleet Landing is a beautiful restaurant, good food, right on the coast. You know, you sit in the patio, see dolphins jumping out of the water. They got very good food and cocktails. You know, so, I mean, those are a few. Rodney Scott's Barbecue, you know, that kind of got voted one of the best, you know, rib and barbecue places in the Southeast. He just opened one up in Birmingham as well. But so, you know, the list goes on and on. I think the most important thing is, if you do visit, when you get here, you know, whoever visit, call me and say, hey, man, here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I feel like I want to eat today, man. Help me out here. Help me out. Tell me where to go.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
There's a lot of different options.
So, listeners, call Charleston Basketball for your food tips in Charleston. You heard Coach Grant say, call the basketball office and they'll let you know what his tips are for you. I mean, nobody could save me. Coach Grant's tips of the week for Charleston's food of the week. You know, that might be a good segment there, man. He gave me an idea right on the spot there.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with food here, I tell you. This is a place where you definitely can get a good meal. So, you guys, if you need tips on that, you know, feel free to call me and I'll steer you in the right direction, that's for sure.
Yes, indeed. Well, Coach Grant, best of luck to you, man. Glad you guys are still doing well. Look forward to talking to you down the road, man. And best of luck to you this whole year, man.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Always good to you know, you guys to be thinking about us and having us on. So we really appreciate it. And if we can do anything for you, just let us know.
Will do, Coach. Thank you as always, buddy.
Yes, sir.
All right, it's Earl Grant.
For all your photo, video, and voiceover needs, check out the fine folks at Blu-ray Productions. They will take good care of you. If you don't believe me, you can see for yourself. Check out their work at blueberryproductions.tv, the Facebook page, Blueberry Productions, also a Vimeo page, a YouTube page, and it's Blueberry, BLUBERRY, Prod on Twitter. Check them out today. Blueberry Productions, great people, great work, great service.
Hey there, your yard took a real beating this summer. Luckily, Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard has your back. Just feed your grass with Scott's again this fall when the air is cool and the soil is warm. It's the perfect time to give your lawn a boost. If you do, Winter Guard will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help weak, thin grass recover and support root growth, giving you a greener, more resilient lawn both now and next spring. Guaranteed. Grab a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard today. You'll be back to barbecuing in no time. This is a Scott's Yard.
Hey parents, we all try to be extra careful with our children in the car, but then we get an important call or text. Remember, our children are watching. Make every drive a good example. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student-athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting, or Twitter at Coach TWill24, or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-6079. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
Folks, back on the Boss Man Show with a friend of the show, Kevin Baggett of the Rider Bronx, out of the back. Coach Baggett, how are things up there with you guys in Lawrenceville, man?
Things are going pretty well. We're gearing up for a scrimmage this upcoming week, and then we're about 9 or 10 days away from playing our first official game, and then we figure things out, you know. So it's getting closer. As we get closer, we're just trying to fine-tune things and make sure that we got our guys prepared. Obviously, we don't have everything in, but that's a process going on throughout the entire year, though.
Coach, can you believe it's year 8 for you leading the Rider Bronx as the head coach after 6 years previously being an assistant coach there? Actually, you're heading to year 8 now. Can you believe it?
I'll just say this. It's a blessing. I thank God every year that I have an opportunity to come back and be the head coach of Rider University. It's an honor. I never take it lightly. And it's a blessing, first of all, because you know, in particular, African American coaches out here, they're not nearly as much of us as it used to be. So, you know, I'm even more thankful for the fact that I'm still able to be a head coach at, 8 years going into this thing.
Exactly. I feel like you got to a good spot because your AD was a former coach and knew what it took to be a basketball coach. That kind of helps you. You got to have the administration, the board of trustees on board, the president's on board, so to support you as you go. And plus, you've been there before you became a head coach, so you had that kind of in as well.
Absolutely. And Don Hardeman is our AD, and he understands that there are avid flows. There's highs and lows. There's good seasons and down seasons. You know, for the most part, we've been pretty consistent, not had as many down seasons. So I've been thankful that way, but he understands that he's been in my shoes and, very supportive, always there for me, always complimentary. And, I appreciate the fact that he was a head coach because he totally gets it.
And what do you feel like you've been your biggest accomplishment, coach, over your 8 years, going to your 8th there, since you've been the head man there? Because what's really stopped you that you really are so proud of the program, what you have accomplished since you've been there since 2012 as the head coach?
I think first and foremost, you just have to have good people around you. I've got great assistants. I've had great assistants that has totally helped me with recruiting, helped me with the player development, you know, helped our program in general, and just make sure we do the right things by our guys and develop them, you know, on and off the court, into men, and try and help them to get to where it is that they need to get to in life. But yet being honest and being very direct with them and letting them understand that the real world awaits them, and not give them any false notions of what lies ahead for them. And so I think that, and I also just think being consistent. Guys know who you are. They know exactly what to expect day in and day out, on and off the court. And I think if you could be consistent more often than not, I certainly think that helps.
And Coach, coming off last year's second place finish in MAC play, what did you prioritize with your staff this offseason and the team to get better at this year going so you can get over the hump and punch that ticket to the big dance there?
Buying in. You know, we had some guys that thought they arrived last year after the year we had 2 years ago and kind of fell off the path a little bit. They went outside their lane, and, you know, we had guys come back out of shape. You know, I call it the fat cat syndrome. You know, you have that success and you sit back, but what you fail to realize is that other teams are going to be gearing for us to do that. We were supposed to be good again last year. And, you know, to me, we underachieved. Obviously, we finished the second, you know, but tied for second. But in my world, what we had set out to accomplish. We didn't achieve that. So our guys have come back very focused this year, in shape. You know, when we started our, you know, summer practices July 5th, that was the start of the season for us. It was getting that taste out of our mouths from this past season and starting anew and really focused and understanding that it's going to take you bringing it every day, being more consistent, you know, getting extra shots up, whatever it might take for us to be successful. And going back and everybody self-evaluating, starting with me, you know, what it is that I could have done better. And, you know, some changes that I needed to make and how we approach things, how we coach guys, how we just do things from a day-to-day. And then letting the players understand that if I can do it, then they all need to look to do it as well. And I think everybody did that. They understood that we all individually didn't accomplish what it is that we set out to do. So we hit the reset button, and here we are.
Yeah, and people don't realize how tough – that the MAC is. I mean, it's a very tough conference. You know, Iona's always there, Canisius there, Quinnipiac, Siena. You know, it's just a tough, tough league, because last year in your league, six of the teams had 10 wins or more in the league. That's a tough league every day. So if you don't bring it, if you ain't paying attention in detail every day, every practice, every shoot around, every film session, you can lose a game if you miss an assignment there.
Absolutely, and I'm constantly telling people, you know, how tough this league is, and understanding that you're only going to get one bid out of this league more often than not. And, you know, the Iona and Tim Clues has been very, very, very good at the top, giving him a lot of, you know, credit. He's been able to maintain it for a long time, and we're up trying to fight those guys and the other teams in our league as well. But day in and day out, every opponent, there's not a – I don't care if from 1 to 11, on any given night, you can lose to any one of these teams. And, you know, every player, there's a lot of players that are interchangeable. It's certainly a guards league. It's a physical league. And so anytime you have guys the same size, the likes, you know, it makes it difficult for officials to officiate the game. And, you know, it, night in and night out, it's just good competition, great guards, you know, great players. And I say this all the time, give – kudos to every coach in this league, because we have very good coaches in the MAC.
Yes, indeed. Now, Coach, I know the success of the MAC helps you recruiting when you're up in the Northeast there, because of the visibility you have as being a Rider. You all have been good for a while. You're very relevant in Northeast and East basketball. But how do you go about selling this program nationally, getting kids that want to come to Lawrenceville, New Jersey, and come play in the MAC? Because every kid can't go high major or high mid-major, per se. So what's the sell to guys about your program? Because I know it's easier to call because you all have been good. But how do you get guys from, like, here in Georgia or up D.C. area to want to come, an opportunity to play at a great university and get a great education as well?
Well, we told guys that first and foremost, you're going to get a great education here at Rider University. It starts with that. You know, we make sure that the parents and the student athlete understands that it's academics first. At some point for us all, the basketball is going to stop bouncing. So, you know, we've been very consistent. Again, we talked about, you know, me being in this program and being an assistant promoted to the head coach. Well, I'm three coaches removed from that same consistency. So, you know, consistency. So it's that mantle, that torch has been passed down for us in terms of how we handle the academics, the relationships that we have here at the university with the professors, you know, the tutorial, the tutors, everybody here at the university is pulling for, you know, our athletes and making sure that they certainly do their part to make sure our players get their academics and get their degree first and foremost. And then basketball-wise, we do right by our guys. Obviously, we've been pretty successful and been consistent as far as winning. But just getting guys to play professionally, we've had a young man in Jason Thompson who was a lottery pick to the Sacramento Kings. He's still the all-time games played for the Sacramento Kings. You know, we currently have 18 young men overseas playing. And so we're, from the basketball standpoint, we're able to help these young men get to where they want to get to. If it is playing professionally, basketball-wise, we've been able to be successful in that area. And this guy's going into the corporate world, blue-collar world, white-collar world, whatever it is that they seek out to do, we've been pretty successful in allowing our guys and helping them get to Fortune 500 companies and just following through. And to me, being consistent is not only after they graduate, but still having these guys come back, return, be part of our program, mentor the younger guys that are in our program, and let them know what it takes and how fortunate they are to be in a program like ours, that we genuinely care for them. And this is a family, and it's a family not only while you're here for 4 years, but it's a family for life.
Yes, indeed, Coach. I also try to encourage the young men down here in Georgia who I talk to and say there's more than just Kennesaw, Georgia State, Mercer, Georgia, Georgia Tech. I try to get them broaden your horizons to other places. That's why I like having guys like you on the show, because I want these young men to hear a different pitch, something different, not just be stuck here at home. You know, you can go away from home, still play ball, and still get a good education, and grow as a man, go into a husband, like you said, a lawyer, a doctor, a businessman.
Absolutely.
Or if his talent is there, play in the NBA, G League, or overseas as well.
Right, absolutely. And I can tell you this, that we're in your backyard now pretty heavily, and so we're hoping to eventually hear, if not this year, next year, to land one of those young men in your area. There's tons of talent out there. Trust me when I tell you, we're in those high schools now, and we might even have some success here within the next coming weeks from a young man in Atlanta. Obviously, I can't talk about it right now, but we got our fingers crossed that when this young man comes to visit, he and his family like it, and we can continue to get people out of Atlanta, because that is a great area. It is a hotbed for talent, as you said. And yes, there's some great universities there, but I know there's some young men that would love to get out of that area and come up north and play for a university like Radder.
Yeah, Coach, I try to do my best to tell young men about programs like yours. Since we're as a black coach, I try to tell them where black coaches are at. So this guy will know your experience and been in your shoes. It can help you grow as a man and help you in your step of life. So I try to funnel the young men here to senior programs that have a black coach to say, hey, this guy can nurture you and take care of you. Not nothing against a white coach, but having a black coach or a black mentor does a lot for a young black man, in my opinion.
Absolutely, and I appreciate that. And I say that to these young African-American kids. We look like you. We've gone through tough times like you, the perception of us. So we know what it is that we're dealing with, but yet we don't use that as an excuse. We use it as something to motivate us and to help you get to where it is you get to. But there's not going to be any excuses made here in our program and not from our players. You know, again, accountability, being a good person, going out here, being productive, doing what it is that you need to do in life, and understanding that nothing is given to us. So we got to go out here, we got to work hard, and we got to go out and get it and make it happen for us. And that's our job as African-American coaches, myself and my guys on my staff, to make sure that we constantly make sure our guys understand that. And, that's one thing I can credit my assistants for. They're great at it. And, you know, I'm proud that we've had an opportunity to coach the African-American players that we've had. They've all gone. Most of them have gone out and done great things. And so, and that goes for any kid that comes to our program, but in particular, you know, speaking on behalf of our black players.
And, Coach, also this, I want to ask you about your team this year, Coach. Who are some guys that has really improved this offseason for you in the player development piece, or for their mental and physical, emotional beings to become better players for you, got a little bit stronger, a little bigger, that you want to highlight this for our listeners here to kind of keep an eye out for?
Yeah, well, it starts with our point guard, Stevie Jordan, going into his senior year. Stevie's been a second-team All-Conference last year, third-team the year before, you know, on the rookie team. Now this is his senior year, his last go-around for us. Stronger, worked on his shot consistently now from the three-point line. Just being, you know, the whole basketball part of it, he's done a really good job. Just stepping up and being more of a leader now. This is his team. You know, if you want to go out here and leave out here with the legacy of getting us to the NCAA tournament, it certainly starts with him. And then another young man, Freddie Scott, a transfer from DePaul for us, now going into his third season for us, been third-team All-Conference the past 2 years. It's time for him to take that next step, become a first-team All-Conference player. 6'8", can do a little bit of everything. Certainly shooting him more consistently has gotten stronger. And I just think his confidence is at an all-time high right now. And so he's certainly going to help us. And then another senior for us is Demetrio Vaughn. I should say senior academically, but a junior athletically, the redshirt junior. Just getting back to being healthy, being a Demetrio Vaughn that he was 2 years ago when, you know, arguably he should have been the player of the year, certainly a first-team All-Conference player. He's now gotten back healthy. He got his mind right now and focused. And so those would be three guys that we're really leaning on in particular. And then we just got a bunch of other guys returning that, no slight to them, that we really need them to take the next step as well. There's some young freshmen that, obviously these days you got to plug them in and hopefully they can get to helping you as well. But taking a little lesser role to the upperclassmen that we have on our team. And then, Tahir Marshall was a senior center for us, really come back in great shape. Just had a baby, by the way, so he's more focused now, understanding that not only is it about him anymore, it's about him and his daughter. And so he wants to go and play professionally, so he's really focused and really has worked on his game. So it starts with those four guys and then the supporting cast around us of the other guys on our team.
Got there, right, Coach. And I see some non-conference schedule. I see you got a trip to Arizona State and Wisconsin, but I see a lot of quality mid-major matchups I see, Coach. And I know it's your hardest thing about your recruiters trying to get the schedule together, because when you're good, you can't get – nobody wants to play. You want to avoid you at all costs.
Right.
So I know trying to put the schedule together was tough, but to get two good mid-major – high-major games with Arizona State and Wisconsin and some quality mid-major matchups has to do wonders for your team as they prepare for MAC play and the Ryder brand getting out in different areas, the Ryder brand and what you guys bring to the table there as well.
Yeah, we're going to be road warriors again this year. As you said, it was hard to get home games. Normally, we get a minimum of three non-conference home games. But if you look at it, we've only got two home conference games, non-conference games. And so we're going to be road warriors. And so we want to go out and we want to be battle-tested against the Arizona State, the Wisconsin, the Temples, the UMasses of the world to kind of prepare us for the MAC. But again, at the end of the day, we got to take care of home, but you got to be able to win on the road, especially when it comes time for conference play. Obviously, we're excited about the MAC tournament being in Atlantic City now at a neutral site. Again, got to go on the road, got to be able to win a minimum of three games in order for us to get to the dance. So what better way to get us prepared by going on the road and playing some of those opponents and then playing, as you said, some likes of some mid-majors that, we feel our opportunity that we can win. Obviously, we got to go in there and get it done. But we certainly like our schedule. Certainly always going to try and compete against high-level talent. But yet, we certainly want to make sure that we also set ourselves up and give ourselves some opportunities to compete against some other mid-major programs to give ourselves possibly a chance to win.
Yes, and the Coach Baggett, I'm definitely happy for you and your program and your staff. I love when black coaches are successful and doing well. That's why I was telling Earl Grant and also, Mike Jones at Radford, man, I'm happy that you guys have been there so long. But joining Hampton, you've been in there so long and giving us a stability in the black culture. We lost a lot of them this past carousel, and it's sad to see.
Yes,
but
we have.
I'm glad to see that you guys are still pushing, holding the mantle, we're waving the flag strong for the black coaches in America here in D1 basketball.
Well, I appreciate your help. I wish all the coaches out there a healthy and successful season. The guys that you just mentioned, Mike Jones, a good friend of mine. I'm happy for him and Coach Grant and those guys. And so we're certainly looking forward to a healthy and successful season. And, again, I always appreciate being on your station and you covering us, and I can't thank you enough.
Anytime, Coach Baggett. Have a great day. Talk to you real soon, buddy.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, it's Kevin Baggett on the Boss Man Show.
Hip-hop fans, I got a great album for you. The debut album from Family Grind ENT, True Speech and 313 Fresh. We're going to give you two discs, 33 songs of pure, genuine hip-hop. Albums available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, IllStreetRex.com, and streaming live right now on Rhapsody, Beats Music, Spotify, Xbox Music, Slacker Radio, and SoundCloud. Check them out today, True Speech and 313 Fresh, Family Grind ENT. Believe in it, get it.
A gorgeous tan from Suntan City gives you an inner glow that relights the fire when you run into your first crush. Vicky, who is that? An old boyfriend. Lucky you just tanned at Suntan City. Lucky he's single. We're doing lunch tomorrow. Won't be single for long then.
During Tour of the City, try all 5 tans, including spray tan, for just $4.99. Restrictions may apply. Click to buy now.
When you're a teen, you finally get to make some of your own decisions. Who are you going to hang out with? What do you want to be? Are you going to glance at that text while driving? Remember, a split second is all it takes for something tragic to happen. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Yeah, yeah, it's your man JC, the host with the most, baby, and it goes down each and every Saturday night right here in the city of Memphis. That's right, y'all. It goes down at Clicks Sports Bar Memphis, baby. 3705 Malco Way, Memphis, Tennessee, 38125. Come out and join us, the Three Kings, each and every Saturday night for the livest karaoke in the city. Everybody gets in free till 10 p.m., only $5 after. Great food. We got drink specials. We got all kind of games, man. We got the pool tables popping. Whatever you want, we got you, man. Come on out. Have a good time with us each and every Saturday night. That's Clicks Sports Bar, Memphis.
All right, folks, back in the job, the Boss Man Show. We're here, the friend of the show. We had him on last year's teammate at the NCAA tournament. Fred Dickinson Knights out of Hackensack, New Jersey. Coach Greg Corinda, right off the court to talk to us. Coach Corinda, man, I know you're feeling good. Get off that court, man. How was practice today?
Oh, man, we got after it today. It's funny. We have a lot of coaches come through our practices. And last year, we were lucky to have the czar. We had Mike Fratello on the court, and today we put his drill back in. It's kind of a 3-4 scramble, 3-on-4, and it started practice off great, and it finished great. So we're very excited. We got a young team. We lose two really good players that are playing professionally now, two Hall of Fame guys here at FDU, but practice is good. I left it all on the floor for you, boss man.
I hear that, Coach. Hey, Coach, can you believe it? You're starting to start year 7 at FDU, so tell me, Coach, what's been your greatest accomplishment in your mind in your time at FDU, the 7 years you've been there?
That's, you know what? That's a great – I haven't been asked that question. There's so many, but you don't think about them until you ask the question. This past May, I was asked to give the commencement speech at our graduation in Giants – or in MetLife Stadium where the Giants and Jets play in front of 12,000 to 15,000 people.
Wow.
So now that tells me that I've had a lot of other – people don't just ask people to do that. So we've won championships. I've had players. I've had 10 players in 7 years now graduate and sign pro contracts. We've won the highest grade point average 2 years out of the six that we've been here, and we're close in other two. We've won two conference championships. We've won a regular season championship. But I think ultimately, boss, just bringing in a different breed and changing the culture of Fairleigh Dickinson University basketball, people are proud to be associated with it. And the name and the brand has changed. And in totality, a lot of great things have happened to me. But I've got great kids, man. The majority are from Jersey. We got some cats from Chicago, Philadelphia, but Ohio. But ultimately, I've just been blessed with great assistant coaches and great young players.
And, Coach, like you got some tough, hard-nosed kids. I know kids from Jersey, Chicago, Philadelphia,
yep.
Ohio. Those are blue-collar dudes, man. Those cats get after it. So yeah. You got some hard-nosed, knuckle-down kind of bros out there playing for you, man.
We do. I want them to get – it's hard. Like, in this day and age, you need skill, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, back in the day, you know, you could play like the old Knicks, and then you could play like the Detroit Pistons. But in today's age, if you don't have guys that can shoot the three deep and get by people, it's hard just to get by on old school toughness. So it's a different game. But yeah, man, I got kids that don't give up and play hard. We're playing Kentucky, Notre Dame, and DePaul early here, and we're excited about it. We're not afraid. We're from New Jersey, and this is a place where you have to fight for a parking space, you have to fight for a slice of pizza, and you got to fight to get to the NCAA tournament.
You got that right. I feel like playing DePaul with Dave Lato, playing Mike Braden at Notre Dame, and playing Cal at Kentucky, and
yeah.
also those quality matches you got, this mid-major level as well, it'll prepare your team well for that NEC play there, man, and get you ready again to make that run one more time, in my opinion.
Well, no, that's it. That's it. You know, so now when we since I've been here, we played Arizona, we played Villanova twice, we played Villanova once, we played Arizona, Seton Hall, Iowa, Cincinnati. So we don't back down. And then what happens is it's good for recruiting too, as you well know. Kids want to come and they want to play against the highest level. And then, but it prepares your team so that you're not afraid to go to schools in our conference on the road, because we've already been in some, you know, we're playing a Big East team in DePaul, and we're playing a ACC team in Notre Dame, and we're playing an SEC team in Kentucky. And some people think I'm crazy, but I'm just crazy about pushing our players to their absolute limits. And I think that's the only way you get to the top. And last year we won our first ever NCAA tournament game in the school's history, and that's how we got there, man. It's not an easy road, but it's a road that we took.
And Coach, I'm gonna tell you a quick story. When I talked about you being on the show, guys knew who you were, Coach, which tells me even down here in the ATL, your run last year, your camera show last year, your run made in the tournament, so they're sending you on TV to the own Turner, and your energy and your passion with your team, the guys down here recognize Fred Dickinson University now and the Knights and yourself. So just think about what last year did for your program, that guys down here, when I announced you could build the show, guys hit me and said, we like that guy. We heard him on your show last year. His program is cool. So that's what's up, Coach. So guys out here, representing FDU now as well.
I appreciate that a lot, man. And it was crazy. And I don't know if you noticed, boss, but last year for the one shining moment, everyone thought that we might be on because I hugged our player at the end of our Gonzaga game. But they had my pregame speech to start one shining moment last year. So the press and the notoriety that we received by doing what our kids did was just amazing, and it's helped our school, our applications, our radio. Just like being on your show today is huge. I was on Jim Rome twice. Jim Rome was on my show. Boss Man, you got to be on my show. This is crazy. You haven't been on. I have my own radio show.
Hey, give me your Coach. I want to come on your show. I'd love to.
You're on. No, you're absolutely on. I've had Chris Broussard on. I go to football. I had Bill Cowher, Phil Sims, Jay Wright, everybody's been on. I got to have the Boss Man on my show.
Yes, indeed. Now, Coach, I'm going to tell you this. I spoke to some kids last week, and I mentioned your program again. I said, look, guys, there's more to the basketball than Kennesaw, Georgia State, Georgia, Mercer, and Georgia Tech. You go out of state. Now, I named your program. I named Ryder. Okay. I named North Carolina Central. Yeah. I named Radford with Mike Jones. I said, there are places you can go outside of the state of Georgia.
That's right.
And still play ball, a chance to play, great education, and become a man. Because staying here in Georgia, you become baby by your parents and your friends and your family, and you can get the noise getting inside your head. Go away from Georgia. Mm-hmm. Grow up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Play ball. You can still go pro. So I'm down to your program party. Yeah.
I love it. I really appreciate it, Boss Man. It's just great to hear. And I really just I love your enthusiasm for the game, and it's contagious, man. And it's only October, so we got a lot of hoop in front of us.
Now, Coach, let me ask you this. Now, you made a great run last year, so how do you get the guys focused to realize that, hey, this is a new year, this is last year's last year. We're a new team now, 19-20 nights, not 18-19 nights. So how do you get the guys to think about this year, the start of process from block one to block Z, which means February, March, peaking at the right time once more again?
Well, it's a great question, and right now the first thing we did is show them our schedule. Say, listen, guys, we got so much work to do because our pre-conference schedule is so difficult that if we think about anything other than what's happening right at the moment on the floor, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. We're young, so we have six players that haven't even stepped on a college basketball floor, but they're talented, so we're going to have to grow up. But it's all about what's in front of us. And I was once told by actually Atlanta Braves, the great Hall of Famer legend, Hank Aaron, whatever you did yesterday is only good for wrapping dead fish. So we took all those newspaper articles and threw them away. And I've told the team that quote, and it's true, man. It's like, now you got to prove who you are over and over again. And this year is a new year, and you know, people know who we are now, so they're going to be prepared. And but I love my kids, man. We built a culture where they come in and they go to work and they understand it, and it makes my job and my life so much easier.
Yeah, side of me, Coach, you have a big year for your assistant coaches to help develop these young players. Since the guy out there hasn't touched the court yet, player development is going to be a key factor for this year's team and practice and film session and just any time trying to get these guys developed and ready for what's coming ahead starting here in about 10 days through March here.
Yes. No, it's a process, man. And as you well know, at any level now, like I'm a New York, you know, believe it or not, I'm a New York Jet fan, and at the professional level, if you're not prepared and if you don't do your homework and if you don't dot the I's and cross the T's, you see what the New England Patriots do to everybody, and they're the gold standard in athletics as far as I'm concerned, and that's what we have to emulate. Our players, you know, and it's hard, man. These kids are young. They've got a lot of different things on their minds, but when they come in and put their shorts on and lace up their sneakers, it's really my and our assistants' opportunity to teach and coach, and they're students still. And our players are smarter than you think, and we give them a lot, but they give us a lot back. So, preparation is, you know, for this whole 5-1 stretch, it's a day-to-day activity, and we need to do it every day.
As my pops always tell me, Coach, proper planning prevents poor performance. He's telling me the 5 P's of life, always. Proper planning prevents poor performance.
That.
So my dad always tell me, he tells me that right now, with your show, son.
Dad's a smart man.
Prepare
smart
the man. 5 P's, son. Prepare for your show. Even though you know the guys, still prepare. You know, he always tells me that to this day.
Amen.
Still.
Amen. Amen. You're exactly right. No question.
And, Coach, what I like about your schedule is that I feel like – I also want to talk for my listeners here, Coach. When you play in a mid-major level like yourself, you can't judge you off the non-conference record because a lot of times you're playing guaranteed games. You have your role warriors.
Right.
So you can't judge them by the record in November and December. It's about January through March. I try to get a listener to realize this. Coach, you kind of speak to that point that you have to not look at us for what we do November, December. It's more about January and March through March there, the record-wise, because I feel like my listeners get caught up. Well, the record wasn't as good as it could have been. They're traveling all over the country playing guaranteed games. It's like they can't get a home game, so that's why the record the way it is for some of these schools here.
No, you're right. Now, our conference is really speaks well to that. You know, we support our universities by playing these games, and on top of that, it helps us recruiting. It helps in so many ways, but it just hurts your win-loss record. You know, last year we won 21 games, and we played, you know, four guaranteed games. So, like, and if at a higher level, you play 6 or 7 guaranteed games that you're paying, and you turn that, you know, last year for us to win 21 games in our conference is like winning 30. It really is, because it's a flip when you're playing a lot of games that, quite honestly, you're heavy underdogs going in. And but since I've been here, we've beaten Rutgers, we've beaten Seton Hall, we beat St. Joe's, and we beat Princeton, we beat Towson, guys that we weren't supposed to beat early in my career. So we won 5 games that are quote-unquote guarantee games, and you usually win 1 or 2 of those in your life. So we're not afraid to go into places and beat people, but it's the nature of the beast, and I love it. It's what college basketball is all about, and I think our players thrive off of it, and we're just excited to get it started here pretty soon.
And I'll tell my staff here, Coach, that, hey, I appreciate that nobody wants to play FDU anytime soon. They want to not play, so we're trying to get games a little bit harder because you've kind of made a buzz here for the program, which is a great thing. But also, these guys don't want to play you now because they think you're going to be good. They're like, oh, no, we don't want to lose those guys.
Exactly. It's the same thing with us. Like, we play this Division II teams want to play us because we're allowed to play one non-1, and I'm like, yo, man, I know the deal. I don't want to play anybody that. So it's hard. Every coach, you know, Jim Valvano said the two most important things in college basketball is 1 is recruiting and 2 is scheduling. You know, and you have to recruit and have players, and you have to make the best schedule possible. And it's hard here to get it. We'll never have an easy schedule, but our schedule is what it is. And, you know, we just, if you don't embrace it, we tell our players all the time, boss, that if you're dealt with pressure, you have to embrace it, because if you try to hide from it and run from it, it'll kill you. And we live by that, and we love pressure, and we kind of feed off of it. And so far, it's been successful here.
You got there, right, Coach? Now, Coach, I was happy for your Jets because they beat the Cowboys. I enjoyed that game.
that was the one weekend of, like, you could pretend like you were an NFL fan, but that was great. And then the Cowboys came back and slapped the Eagles. So it's crazy, man. I watch a lot. I watch all sports and kind of relate it to my coaching abilities. And you just try to always have your team ready to play. And the team that's ready to play, you know, 80% of the time is going to, you know, win, even if you're underdogs. But, God, the Jets were really – they struggled against the Patriots this weekend, and everyone – are you in Atlanta – the Falcons, God, what are people jumping off the
– Oh, yeah.
About the Falcons or
what? The stadium is half empty, Coach. Fans not going to games. People are tailgating, not coming inside. They want the coach fired. They want everybody fired, man. Hey, Coach, I'm going to tell you the honest truth. The Falcons not recovered from blowing the Super Bowl against the Patriots. That's what it boils down to.
No.
Super Bowl against the Patriots, they can recover from that. They have not got over that. The game was theirs. Mm-hmm.
Hey, boss, I've got players waiting outside for me. We have individual meetings. I've got to go attend to my players.
All right, Coach.
I appreciate you having me on, and I'm going to have you back on my radio show. Is that good with you?
That's ideal, Coach. A little love, too, man.
Love to you, and I appreciate everything. And I'm going to call you back soon, and we'll have you on the Greg Herendez Show up on the airwaves in New Jersey and New York City, boss.
I look forward to it, Coach. Have a great day. Talk to you real soon, Coach Herendez.
All right, brother. Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student-athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting, or Twitter at Coach TWill24 or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-6079. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you. We'll be right back.